This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Patriots come hard, fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, and all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork!
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again, back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in preseason game number 2.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
For the second week in a row, it is not Mark, Paul, and Andy. It is just Paul and Andy, but we will get you through anyway on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here at Gillette Stadium, all ready for the home opener, Andy Hart, against the Tampa Bay Bucks.
And a beautiful night for football.
Can we call it the home opener, even though it's just the preseason?
Preseason home opener. We're opening our home to the Bucks and fans for the first time.
So Mark is en route. He is dealing with the typical local traffic here on a Friday night as he comes from his quote-unquote real job. So he'll be along as soon as he can. Until then, Andy and I will get you through. We also have our boy Darren in the poll center, and he's actually in the poll center tonight.
Indeed.
I'm here.
We can't hear you. Even though you're in the poll center, we can't hear you. Someone will have to...
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes!
That's
I think that tagline is already taken, though.
So Darren will have some polls for us. We'll take a look at those. We'll try to figure out exactly what we're going to see tonight. But I don't see any other way to start, Andy, other than with the most important member of the Patriots roster, and that is number 12, Tom Brady, and his knee injury.
Fred recalled an incident.
He left practice on Wednesday. Gave everyone a scare, but it was back out there on Thursday, took part in the walkthrough, I'll call it, even though it wasn't fully a walkthrough. There was some competitive elements to it in 7-on-7 and whatnot, but it was a walkthrough for all intents and purposes. He was out there with his brace. He listened to Andy and Paul. He put his knee brace on his left knee, and various reports today indicate that he is going to play. I would be surprised if he didn't play, and I know last year he didn't play in week 2, but if you recall, Andy, and I haven't really seen many people mention this, they had that very strange preseason schedule last year where I believe they had 3 games in 8 days,
right,
and this was the middle one, and I think that's the reason that he didn't play at all in that week 2 game. I think tonight he'll play about what he did last week, maybe a little bit more, but I wouldn't expect much more. How do you feel about
it? Yeah, I think he'll play. I mean, I don't get why he wouldn't. I mean, it was clearly a precautionary thing when he left practice. They deemed the knee fine. Well, then proceed as normal. Play him in the game as you want to. He wants to, you know, and especially for those people who believe he needs to play even a little bit more this preseason due to the injection of new receivers here and the young receivers and getting more game reps with guys like Boyce and Dobson and Tompkins and Sudfeld. So I don't see anything other than him playing tonight and probably playing a little bit more, whether that's 3 series, whether that's the first quarter, depending on how the game plays out and the snap count, so to speak. But I would think you're going to see Brady get his reps tonight with those young receivers.
Yeah, do you feel that is an important element than getting more reps with guys that he's not familiar with? And I would even throw Amendola into it, even though he's not a young quote unquote receiver. He's another guy that he's not familiar with. That he has to throw.
I put Amendola more in the Welker Moss from 07, where they're veterans. They have plenty of time on the practice field. I think they're good to go. I think they have looked good since the spring. I think they've looked good in the summer. So I'm comfortable with that. The other guys, no, I think they need reps. Now, I don't think you go above and beyond. Brady's got to play all 4 quarters of all 4 preseason games to get reps.
God,
nothing ridiculous, but I do think there's a little bit more of a premium on reps with the receivers this summer and for the receivers, not just with Brady and the rapport, but we've seen some inconsistency from Dobson. We've seen some drops. We've seen some routes that maybe weren't quite what they were supposed to be.
Same with
that's going to happen. And you certainly want to get those out of the way in August rather than in September,
because they
need to hit the ground running. They can't afford to lose a couple hiccups here and say, well, we are a dominant football team. We'll still finish 14-2. You know, some of us believe they're going into a season where wins and losses might matter a little bit more, quote unquote, than they have in recent years, where you pretty much knew they were going to win 12 or 13 games, win the division and all that. So,
well, some of us still know that, but
yes, you know, I just think they need to be as good and as ready as possible come September, and you do that by game reps, competitive reps.
Yeah, you are correct. I know some of you have been a little bit reluctant to join forces, but so that's how we feel about the situation. Curious to find out how you guys feel. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address, webradio@patriots.com. You can also get in touch with us via the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's 508-298-0398. Once again, 508-298-0398. And our new North American line.
Toll free.
Toll free at 855-PATS-500.
Indeed.
Did I get that right?
A lot of fives.
855-PATS-500 is the way you can reach us toll free inside of North America. And
You know, another toll free way?
How's
Twitter.
That?
Wow. Hit us up with the hashtag PPGS, the Patriots pregame social. Send photos, especially if you're out here in Foxborough on this beautiful Friday night. Warm weather, ladies, you know, if you want to send some photos.
This is where we bring Darren into the equation now.
What? What's that now?
Beautiful night, as Andy said. First home game of the
beautiful
the summer.
Women.
Want to know if you're tailgating. Want to know, ladies, how you're tailgating and you know what you're wearing and whatnot. You can send you can send your photos in to the Facebook page.
Send them to me.
Send them to webradio@patriots.com. We'll see if we can get young Darren to get those up on the Facebook page, and we'll see what you guys think. And again, I'm curious do people want to see Tom Brady play this game?
I think so. I think they want to see him play so that they know he really is okay. I think that's the impression I get from Twitter. Have already had some people tweet in. They, in a weird way, they want to see Brady play. They've read everything. He's fine, but they want to see it with their own eyes on the Fox, by the way, national television broadcast. You will not have Statler and Waldorf tonight. Paul and Andy will not be part of the broadcast.
It's good that you pointed that out. A lot of people have been asking me about that today, and no, we will not.
You'll get Moose, Goose, and some Albert guy.
Kenny.
Which one? Kenny?
Yeah.
Kenny, Moose, and Goose will be on the broadcast. But I think people just want to see with their own eyes Tom Brady drop back, not limp, throw the football, and say, okay, he's fine. He really is fine.
Darren, how are we doing on a poll? We have anything to lead us off yet?
Well, yeah, actually.
What's
going
the first
back to,
poll?
The Brady situation. Obviously, that's the hot topic.
Well, let's go over to the poll center.
All right. So we're over in the poll center now.
He had to run over.
Yeah. On the scale of 1 to 5, how concerned are you about Tom Brady's left knee?
Zero.
Surprisingly enough, yeah, that is the top answer.
It should be.
65%.
Now, had you had that poll on that Facebook page for like an hour span between, right, I don't know, 3:40 and 4:40, wow, a couple days ago, I think there would have been concern.
Mm-hmm. It's between 0 and 5, with 0 being not worried at all and 5 being very concerned?
Between 1 and 5, but yeah, same
okay
thing.
Well, I am at a solid 3.
Wow.
I don't know how people can just dismiss it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess Fred just brainwashes
that eloquently.
Fred just brainwashes the world. I mean, a guy leaves practice and they tell you that he's okay. And, oh, yeah, they said he was okay. All right.
Getting a lot of comments about concerns about Brady's knee, but not showing up in the poll center. So
see, I'm concerned that he's starting off the season at less than 100%.
The bruise, it was nothing.
Now, am I concerned that he is not going to be able to play with whatever state he is in right now? No, that would be one. Like everybody else said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned that he's starting off the season with a problem.
We all have our bumps and bruises, our dings.
Okay.
But it's the same
I worry about some of them.
He'll be fine.
Okay. We can take the Fred approach and we'll
be fine.
We can do that. It's the same approach he had with Gronkowski, who's yet to see the practice.
Well, there was no reason to have it with Gronkowski. He was being idiotic with that, but this is sane, logical, precautionary. That he left practice, they looked at it and said, it's fine, let's get back out there.
All right, well, I'm curious, like I said at the start of the show, I'm curious to see what you all think, and the Ace Ticket Hotline is burning up already, Andy, so let's get out to Portland and check in with Chester.
We're not allowed
hey,
to talk to...
What's going on? How you doing?
Whoa. We're not allowed to talk to anybody in this slot.
Listen,
other than one.
I got three guys waiting. Am I supposed to wait for Jeff?
Wow. Chester, you undercut Jeff. I like it.
I am honored immensely. Going on, guys? How you doing?
Great.
Are you ready for the Häagen-Dazs bowl tonight? Big bowl of vanilla ice cream out there. You know? great night for you guys to take off, you know. And as far as my level of concern about TB's knee, I got to go 3 to 4 here. And honestly, with the backups that we have in place right now, I think it's a 5 whether it's healthy or not, you know. To me, tonight, the spotlight's on Ryan Mallett. I think that's got to be the overall focus from a fan and analysis standpoint is, you know, what do we have with this guy as a backup? He has yet to show us anything in the preseason, in my opinion. And, you know, I think it was a huge wake-up call earlier this week as to what happened with DB's knee and or what didn't happen. But, you know, I think the show's on for him. And to me, tonight, I'm really going to put a lot of stock into whether or not this kid's going to be a fit for this locker room as a backup or whether or not we need to start looking at some veteran free agency, you know, down the road. If anything, for trade leverage. But, you know, to me, that's really what tonight is all about. I really want to see this running game continue to develop, and hopefully we see more on D. Love to hear you guys' thoughts off the air, and take it easy, fellas. Over and out.
Thanks, Chester.
Thank you, Chester. Well, I'm not sure I have as big a concern with Mallett as other people do, not necessarily because I'm so pro-Mallett. I just look at backups around the league, and I see a lot of guys like Ryan Mallett.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of guys that have some ability that got him in the NFL. In Mallett's case, it's an incredible arm. But
in production,
there are other things that, his production wasn't based on the way he dissected college defenses.
Right.
His production was based on his ability.
But he was productive. He was good at Arkansas.
Terrific.
And Michigan actually put up numbers when he was there.
But what I would say is, where is there backup quarterbacks that you would say, I'd feel a lot better if X was the guy backing him up.
And we've talked about this a lot in the past. Generally, if it's a good backup, it means the starter stinks because you're kind of comparing the two. But I've came to this, not epiphany the other day, but about my own criticisms of Mallett and whether I would feel the same in a different city. If I just saw him play, and if he got the chance to play, whether it's here or anywhere else, if he played full games for an extended period of time, I know he's not going to be great. I'm not saying he's going to be a top 10, top 12, quarterback, whatever you, but would he be competitive? Would he be Matt Flynn? Would he be what Carson Palmer now is? Not Carson Palmer circa 8 or 10 years ago, whatever it was.
I think that one is actually a pretty good one.
Right. Carson, you have a guy that's going to throw
tall,
a lot of
strong
picks.
Arm, can make some throws, and he's going to make some mistakes. He's going to throw a lot of picks.
It's tough for us around here because we know what it's supposed to look like in this offense when it's clicking so well because Tom Brady does it so well and is so capable as a quarterback. But that's not a fair standard to hold Mallett to. The standard is a backup quarterback in the NFL or a low-level starter in the NFL. You know, one of those teams in 20 through 32 or 25 to 32 that are looking for a starter. Is he as good as those guys? Is he as good as backup quarterbacks? I'm not sure. You know, I haven't seen enough of him. I still have all the concerns. The late throws, the throws behind guys, the throws that are going to get tipped or get people killed. But I see that with a lot of the other bad quarterbacks I see in the NFL.
Yeah, and I do agree with you on one regard. I think that he is getting more criticism than he deserves. Now, I don't think that his performance was very good against Philadelphia in the game itself. I'm leaving practice out of it. The game against Philadelphia, I don't think he was great.
Right.
And I know that we talked about Matt Chatham, our colleague on the preseason broadcast, was very critical of those of us who were critical of Mallett.
Right.
And I think that he was taking it too far the other way. I thought he was inaccurate with some of the throws that he even completed. But I think that your larger point is one that's right, and we talked about a little bit out in the tent one day at practice. It's so hard to watch Brady run this offense and then watch somebody else run it. Matt Castle did not look anything like Tom Brady running this offense in training camp. And then he stepped in, and it took about 14 weeks. But by the time he got to the end, he looked like Tom Brady with the ability to run.
Right.
By the end of it, you know, was he as good as Tom? No, but there was back-to-back games he was throwing for 400 yards down the stretch of the 2008 season. And, by the way, he had the ability to add about 300 yards rushing that year. Was he Tom Brady? Did he throw 50 touchdowns? No. Did he throw 36 and 4 like Tom did in his second MVP season? No. But there was a reasonable facsimile of what we had come to expect from that offense. Maybe Mallett would get there, like you said, if he played 10 weeks in a row and we just saw him. And then after a while, he'd be like, that's not that far off.
But where I think the criticism is fair, and I think the criticism should come, is the development, the improvement. Has he improved since last year? Has he improved since 2 weeks ago?
And I think he has.
Is he getting better? I don't know. I still see some of the same concerns I've had for 2+ years. That's accuracy. That's decision making. That's going through his reads quickly. Now, compare him to Tebow.
Don't you feel the ball gets out of his hand a little bit better than it used to last year?
Maybe a little.
Now,
I think some of that is because we're watching Tebow.
Where you're
going,
it might be part of it the other way.
Right.
He might be benefiting.
I think it helps him a lot. He looks so much better than Tim Tebow out there. So he's caught between a rock on one side and the hard place.
There's an enigma wrapped in the conundrum there, because you could say he's getting a bum rap because he's compared to Brady, and then you could say he's actually looking better than he really is because as a backup he's being compared to Tebow. Who knows which one is right?
And I think that's why people want to see him play. They want to see an extended period of play. And I said that to you. I would love to actually just see him get a game.
Just tell Mello tonight, this is your game?
Your night. Go at it.
Well, Alex,
it won't happen, and I don't think necessarily maybe this is the time, but I would love to see him just get a whole game.
Alex in New Jersey, I'm curious to see what you think. You're next up on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Great.
Pretty good. I just wanted to say I'm actually really excited to see what Josh Boyce can bring tonight. Excited in what Dobson can bring, and I'm really excited in what I'm seeing in Tompkins. He kind of came out of nowhere, and he's really looking like one of their better receivers, but I really kind of want to see Dip Boyce and what he can really bring to the offense, and I'd like to see if Amendola and Brady can really have that connection that Brady and Welker have.
Certainly the receivers are a major talking point and will be well into this regular season, if not the entire regular season. I like the Boyce one simply because I think he is a flash-type player. I think he's a guy that could flash for the positive and the negative at times, and I think we had an opportunity for a touchdown last week. I'd like to see him run by somebody. I have this vision in my head from one day in camp where he did it, bent in. It was the one where Tavon Wilson could have had the pick and actually deflected it, and he caught it. I'd like to see him run straight down the field and see how fast he is and see who he can blow by.
We're talking about our colleagues on the Patriots preseason broadcast. Rochi, I believe, is half-cropped out on ESPN over there next to A-Rod in the Yankees dugout over at Fenway Park tonight. Yankees in town. Not only a PED abuser, but obviously also evidently a rat. He ratted out his own teammate.
Of course, Rochi said Ivan Rodriguez.
Oh, see, now that's not fair. That's not fair right there.
Bad
Take
guy.
That back. That's
bad guy.
That's why they hate you.
Love you, Rochi. Week three. That's where we take our, that's our breakout week.
But I do think Alex's, Alex's pick of specifically Boyce, because I think we talk about the rookie receivers. I think we've talked a lot about Tompkins and Dobson, more so Dobson.
And Sudfeld.
But to me, Boyce is an interesting guy. And we talked about it on PFW in Progress this week, Andy, about big plays. Who will make the most big plays? I think that the percentage of the plays that Boyce makes are going to be big.
Right.
But I don't see him being, a huge contributor. I don't see him catching, barring injuries, in a bigger role.
But we know.
I don't think he's going to catch many more than, say, 20, 25 passes.
But I just don't see how you can expect anyone's role other than Amendola to be consistent.
No. That's
going to
be the key.
Therefore, I think all three of those other guys, the rookies, are going to have times where their role is significant. If not, I think this passing game may have some issues. Because I can't count on whoever the best is, whether you think it's Tompkins or Dobson, whoever the best is, I can't imagine that they're going to go out there and go 16 games wire to wire, not get worn down, not have a minor injury, not go through the dropsies, not have, head problems where the playbook maybe comes and goes, whatever it may be. So therefore, in my opinion, you're going to have stretches where all three of those or some combination, two of the three, are going to be important. So I'm not sure if Boyce, even as the third rookie, will have the luxury of being a redshirt year, a Taylor Price.
I think
there are going to be times. I mean, let's be honest. It's rare for rookies to come in and catch more than 40 passes, to have a 60, 70, 80 catch season. And it seems like some people think that's going to happen.
I do.
Well, that's rare. And that's great if it does.
Yeah, I just don't think they're going to have a choice. So you think that if they're not good enough, they won't be able to do it. I think, as you know, someone will catch the pass. Because I don't think there's that much skill involved in it. That's sort of where you... To me, the reason that it doesn't happen
this
a lot
back to where Paul,
is because Brady doesn't,
hey,
doesn't
Mr.
allow it
Mr. Paul Center, former wide receiver at Williams, Paul thinks that catching the football is the most overrated skill.
Not necessarily down the field.
Well, I think at this level, it's pretty much expected that you catch a football.
Thank you. From an experienced, productive wide receiver.
Somebody tell Michael Jenkins.
At the NESCAC.
He couldn't catch the football the whole time he was here.
That's why he's not here.
Touche, but he's also a proven veteran receiver, so I just think Paul poo-poos the catch a wee bit much.
Okay. He's a proven veteran receiver who you didn't think could catch, and he still caught 50 passes.
Well, I don't know. Was he always like that?
But that's just
Did he always drop a lot of balls?
That's kind of my point. Well, I don't know. Maybe
I don't either. I never watched him play.
I'm just telling you that if you're out there and there's no options, someone's going to catch the ball.
Yeah, but it's not
Brady's
going to
complete.
Doesn't mean you're productive.
Close to 400
Case
passes
in point,
this year.
They asked.
No, I'm not talking about the production. I'm talking about just catching the ball.
Yeah, but if you're just catching the ball and not being productive, they're going to go to the next guy and see if the next guy can be more productive in the role. That's my point. So if Dobson is just out there, no matter who it is, it's going to be a rookie.
Someone's going to catch the pass.
That's my point.
Never caught passes.
I don't think Dobson can get by just having like 15 catches. I think they're all going to need to have more than that.
No, I told you I think someone's going to have like 60. No,
and that's fine, but
I think two of them could have 60. I don't think they have options.
I agree. And I think they're all going to have to catch and have a role. That's where I am, because I find it hard to believe that one of the three are just going to be, okay, we roll them out there every week. They're our starters. They're fine.
All right, let's get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and see what James thinks. The most interesting Patriots fan in the world on the Patriots pregame social.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Jimmy! Anybody call you Jimmy?
I'm not too concerned about Brady, because, to be honest, even if he's 70%, he'll still be out there and he'll still be better than any of the backup. So even if he does have a bit of an injury, I think he'll still be fine.
He'll be fine. Yeah, Paul's concern, though, is if he's 70% now, what percent is he going to be in week 4, and what percent is he going to be in week 12, and what percent is he going
to
be...
And what does one hit take him from 70 down to?
Well, thankfully, he has a knee brace on now, so less than what it would have done.
He needs a brace on every single joint. I just want to see one big brace when he goes out there. He can't move anything, and then he'll be fine.
Okay, Fred, as long as you have something positive to add, thank you.
I've got a quick question for you. I was always intrigued about seeing Kelly and Wilfork line up and play together. Now, I know we touched on it slightly in the show. What's the chance of them playing either during the preseason or during the season, a lot of the snaps actually together? Or is it going to be a plan to rotate them both in and out because they're veterans now?
I don't know. We've seen both. We've seen them line up plenty together, and we've seen in some practices and different things where they have rotated in one veteran with one other player, and then Wilfork and that player go out and Kelly comes in. So maybe that's a work in progress. Maybe they're testing it. My guess is if the young guys like Corey Grissom and some of these other guys don't step up, then you can't go with that plan. If they're not capable of fulfilling the role next to the veteran, then okay, we're going to have to see how much tread is left on these veteran tires here. So I think it depends on how that works out as we get into the season.
And the last thing for you, a quick sort of under-over game. I need you to set the line this season on how many times Beetle is going to turn up on time.
Oh, it'll be the rest of the way.
Yeah,
This is the last time he has a conflict. So
really?
we're all set.
Yeah, what, Monday night game, Thursday night game?
No, he'll be all set from now on.
Thank you. We'll see.
You're going to hold him to it. I did want to just add something to the Wilfork Kelly discussion. Both very durable. So durability is not a concern. It's just their age. It's not past injuries. They're both like 16 game type guys.
Yeah.
But they're also both basically 10-year veterans within a year. And you start to wonder, can a 6 foot whatever, 350-pound player in his 10th year is he still going to be as good in December even if he's not hurt, even if he's just getting worn down? And
absolutely.
That's the concern.
And that is one of the things talking about one of the talking points heading into camp. That has actually unfolded. People were sort of concerned about that lack of depth behind those two guys. It's even been a little bit worse than I think we thought because, A, you open camp without Armstead in the mix with his situation with the infection, and then, B, some of those undrafted guys that maybe you were hoping there might be a diamond in the rough, even some of those guys were, you know, Corey Grissom was
big time,
was compromised for about a week, not out there at practice. Now he sort of seems like he's coming on a little bit. The second week of camp.
Certainly getting reps. I don't know that I've seen him do a lot, but they like him rep-wise.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's getting those reps because he's the only one.
Right.
Or because he's deserving them.
Or because they want him to earn them, and he needs to get out there to get moving.
And then you have the Anthony Richard White, who hasn't really factored in at all, that they signed
after
camp. What's the other guy? Joe Valone. Scott Valone. Is it Scott Valone?
Same letters, different order. Good. Two different defensive tackles.
I'm getting the nod of approval from the
Valone
from the poll center,
which is nice.
Wheel
of Fortune.
What do we think of Andy? What do we think of Tim Tebow tonight? Because the reason I asked that is who is this? Alex says if he were a receiver trying to make this team, he would not want Tebow throwing him the ball.
Correct.
Just as Tom Brady can make a receiver look good, more so than not, Tebow will make a receiver look bad.
Well, he could
make
you look
good.
That
does not build confidence for a receiver.
Because he makes you make a great catch. He might make you look good if you can keep making the great catch.
So what do you think of Tebow tonight? Does he get
I'd like to
action?
Not see him.
Yeah?
I'd like to see it
I think
turned
that all
over
depends
Mallett.
On how much you see Brady. If you see Brady for a cameo, then you're going to see Tebow, I would think. But if Brady plays maybe four series instead of two, then you might not see Tebow in the back end, especially with the reps that Mallett lost last week
right.
with the injury. They might want to make up those reps. I also want to add this one in there for you, Andy.
Yeah.
Jonathan, and this is something we talked about on PFW in Progress with the criticism of you and I on the preseason game. During Hard Knocks, the training camp with the Cincinnati Bengals, Jay Hayes, defensive line coach for the Bengals, who some might call a real coach, tells Margus Hunt during the Bengals preseason opener against the Falcons, just finish, okay? You're kind of staying there, and there's still guys, pow, coming, pop, pop, pop. Go get it. Get you some. You got me? I just thought you guys should know. That's JK in L.A.
I appreciate the effort, but I didn't pay much attention to the idiot who had that criticism.
Darren, we were Andy was criticized because he was saying on Stephen Ridley's big run to open the game, he sort of ran out of gas. And Andy said, "Well, the only drawback there, the only negative, I'd like to see him finish that. He just has to finish it." And someone said that no coach would ever say that, finish it. That's
well,
not football.
He did have to finish it. He got tackled.
And coaches say it all the time on
but
the practice field.
But coaches never say that, this guy was claiming. Coach would never say finish it.
I've heard that.
That's a term that you'd never hear.
I've heard that all the time.
Of course you have, because you played sports.
And the guy missed the point when apparently the dumb thing I said is he could be a 2,000-yard back. I didn't mean to say that. That just kind of – I got caught up in the moment. I meant he could make the jump from 1,200
said,
to like 1,500,
yeah,
not 2,000.
1,500 or 2,000.
See, I got caught up in the emotion at that point. That was the dumb thing.
To which I cringed.
I would have had I even known I said it. I was nervous. I think that was the first hit, wasn't it? Yeah, that was the first hit. That was the first hit ever for Statler and Waldorf.
We all know how my first hit went. just a little behind the scenes. We'll peel back the curtain and let you know. my first hit was supposed to be sort of not prepackaged, but it was planned. We knew when they were going to come to me the
and you
first
had scripted
time.
It in your mind
had,
all day.
And I had something that I was specifically needed to say because they wanted me to say it. And I had sort of rehearsed it in my mind. And then literally, and I'm not exaggerating, literally 7 seconds before they went to me, I was told what to do. And it had nothing to do with the original thought that I had. I was supposed to lead into something on social media with Twitter and then toss it to Andy about and asking him a question, teeing him up to see what he was looking for. Instead, I was told literally 7 seconds before, we're going to go to Paul right now on Ridley, and then throw something in there on social. It didn't
and, you
go
know,
well.
Being the experienced veterans that we are, that's
it came
not
out
a
with blah, 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 blah.
Plus, Paul had to pee.
That wasn't that. That was a long time after that.
You just had the all-time best call in the history of my career here.
Okay.
Woman called up and asked if it was free to go tonight. She goes, do you know how much it is to go? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Depends what ticket you buy.
Oh,
best call I've ever had.
Well,
why do you say we take a break, Paul?
Yeah, it is time. It is. We've hit our first break, and I don't know, he was just talking in there. I was all set. So we have plenty of room in the Ace Ticket Hotline, plenty of emails to get to. We'll get back to Darren in the Poll Center, but first, we take a quick break.
You're listening to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots Pregame Social with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart, only on the Patriots Facebook page.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of the summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
We are going to do just that right off the top here of the next segment. We're going to talk to Roy Cummings from the Tampa Tribune. Roy has been here in Foxborough this week for the joint practices. Roy, thanks for joining us.
Hey, glad to do it, guys.
What were your overall impressions of the practices here in Foxborough, of the work, the joint work done with Bill Belichick and Greg Schiano?
I think, like everybody else, you know, I thought it was a real good change of pace for both sides, particularly the Buccaneers. I mean, the Patriots, having done it against the Eagles last week, had a taste of it already. But for the Bucs, you know, you do reach a point in training camp where everything gets kind of stale. You're going against the same guy. If you're a lineman, for example, you know the moves that the other guy's got, and you can prepare for that, and you know, you need a new challenge, and I think this offers it. I got to be honest, guys, I think we're going to see a lot more teams do what the Patriots did this year, and not just have one of these or none of these. I think we're going to see more teams start to have two of these kind of work weeks where they're going against another team because of the way the rules have changed in the NFL. I think this is starting to become maybe the best way to get these guys ready for the regular season because, again, you don't want to risk them too much in preseason, especially the first rounders in the game. So if you can get them going against another team and somebody who's got a little bit something different to show them, I think it's a better edge. So I think you're going to see a lot more of this.
Roy, give us your quick overview of what you think the Bucs are this year so that fans can kind of put their performances either tonight or what they read about during practices this week for the Patriots in perspective.
Well, I really think they're arguably the best offensive team the franchise has ever had, which may not be saying much, but they were ninth in the league a year ago in offense. They had got a 4,000-yard passer in Josh Freeman who threw 27 touchdown passes last year, and Pro Bowl running back and a couple of Pro Bowl receivers. At least one Pro Bowl receiver in Vincent Jackson. Another one is probably just about worthy of it in Mike Williams. So the offense is potent. It's one of the better in the league, and it's something to watch. Defensively, they're on the rise. They think they've got some young players there that are really good. I mean, when Derek Brooks says that Lavonte David is better than he was at this stage of his career, you might have a pretty good football player coming there. So. Defensively, they've got some pretty good pieces. You know, they've got eight Pro Bowlers overall on this team, Darrell Revis included. And when he gets out there, I think you're going to see that the Bucs are a formidable opponent. I think they're a playoff contender, at least on paper. It's a matter of obviously going out and doing it when it matters. But you know, they won seven games last year. We're in a position to win nine, and just you know, one or two plays kind of went against them. So if they can have that kind of a season this year or improve on it, they should have a shot. So it's a team to watch. There's no question about it.
Well, I would imagine, Roy, that a lot of that will have to do with the quarterback and his development. And we saw a lot of good and a lot of bad, I thought, in the practices. I think his arm is without question, but it looks to me like sometimes he relies on it a little bit too much, maybe tries to make some throws that he shouldn't. But there's no question there's some talent there. What is your read on Josh Freeman?
Well, you kind of hit it on the head. I mean, the one thing they're really trying to get him to do this year is take some of the pressure off of himself. You know, here's a guy who for 4 years now with the Bucs, certainly the last three, he always knew that it was kind of on him to make things work. If they were going to win, it was going to be on him. His first season as a starter, you know, he was in eight situations with the fourth quarter where he had to come back in the fourth quarter. And he brought him back on a lot of those occasions. And I think he just kind of got the mindset that it's all on me. And they're trying to get him to stop doing that, to think that, you know, realize that, hey, there is a defense on the other side. They're going to make some stops. And if they don't, yeah, you're going to be in a situation where you got to make a play. But don't feel like you have to make it right now, even if it's, you know, the last play of the game. Somebody else can make the play. Just do your job. Make the right throw and don't try to force things. And if he does that, you know, the potential is there. You know, there was a 5-6 week stretch last year where he was arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. And, he's got that kind of potential. It's just a matter of making the right decisions. And again, it's not all on him. It's one of the funny things about football. Really, one of the things that drives me nuts about it is, you know, there's 10 other guys out there on offense, but everybody forgets about those once the quarterback makes a mistake. And it's not always the quarterback, especially in this offense. It's an option type offense where, you know, receivers have to adjust to what the defense is doing right along with the quarterback. And if those two parties don't adjust together, you'll end up seeing some problems. And so it's a little bit on the other guys, too. It's not all on the quarterback, but a big part of it is on him. He's got to do his job. That's what Greg Schiano keeps telling him. Just do your job. Do what you have to do on this particular play. And if you do that, you'll probably be successful. So that's really the key for him, I think.
Do your job. We've heard a lot of that around here with Bill Belichick, and that's actually what I want to get into with you. If I'm not mistaken, you were the one who was asking Bill Belichick this week about his relationship with Greg Schiano, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And now you've joined the club of media in New England who have gotten non-answers from Bill Belichick on a storyline. How did you like your indoctrination into Bill Belichick's press conferences?
You know, I dealt with him last year when we were in Tampa and everything. Yeah, it's not the first time I dealt with Bill Belichick. I
mean, he doesn't expound on anything.
What's that?
He doesn't expound on anything, just so you know. I remember the other day you asked him to expound.
But, you know,
yeah, he was very open with you.
From our standpoint, you're not going to get anything if you don't ask. And
right.
If he doesn't want to answer, that's fine. You know, one of these days, maybe he'll figure out that, you know, he's a bit of a goof. But he's a good football coach, but, you know, I mean, you can answer people's questions. If you're not smart enough to, you know, give away some answers without giving away the whole game plan, well, anyway, but that's another deal. And, you know, he's a very successful coach, and he obviously and Greg Schiano get along very well. They're very much alike. They have the same kind of philosophy. Schematically, they run a different kind of program, but overall, organizationally, I mean, they have the same ideas. They want the same kind of things out of their players, and they pretty much teach the same thing. And you know, it's obviously a successful way. So it's good that Greg Schiano's you know, found this guy as a mentor and turned him into a friend. And you know, we just hope he doesn't take his same media approach. That'll hurt a lot of people.
Roy, before we let you go, what is your expectation tonight in terms of just playing time, the starters, Freeman, how much we're going to see of those guys?
I would think it's going to be similar to last week, probably a couple of series. Depends on how many plays come in that series, that first one. If they're three and out, you'll see them out there for another one, maybe even a third, depending on how that one goes. So you'll see them, a dozen plays, maybe 15 plays, and then I think you'll start to see, the second stringers come in, because that's most of the position battles the Bucs are trying to decide are our second team position battles, backup running back, positions like that. You'll see some of the starters play a little bit longer. There's a chance Daquan Bowers, for example, who's struggling a little bit trying to make the transition from a specialist to a regular every down player. You might see him play a little bit longer. So, there's bits and pieces from the starting lineup that'll play a little bit longer, but for the most part, the Freemans, Vincent Jacksons, the Doug Martins, they'll get a series or two, and that'll be about it.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time with us tonight, Roy. We'll be up there with you as soon as we're done here. Enjoy the game, and thanks for being on the Patriots pregame social.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Roy Cummings from the Tampa Tribune telling us really not expecting Josh Freeman and company to play all that much more than we think Tom Brady will play.
And also telling us, taking a couple shots at Belichick in there.
I did like, if you're not smart enough to be able to, give an answer without giving away the game plan, then that's on you.
I enjoy that. These Florida writers, Vito Stellino, Roy Cummings, when they come on, they seem to little digs at Belichick.
And also a perfect time to make a little segue. We have our host in-house.
Already? I think he's early this week.
Making it through the traffic, which
I just want to say it was
a nightmare again.
It was nice working with you guys, because at this rate, I'm going to get fired. I'm going to get fired soon.
At this rate, you'll put in a full show by, August? I mean, late August, early September? How long is it going to take you
before we put in a full 2 hours? The good news for me and the bad news for you is that this will likely be the last week I have this issue.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I maybe will make it here once on time.
Doesn't bother me. Paul's the one who gets, pissy that he has to sit in the big chair over there.
Look at that. He's out. He's out already.
Why are you bringing in little stands and stuff?
I have a little sign here to remind me of all the numbers that I have to keep track of here. There's three phone numbers. There's an email address. There's a hashtag, PPGS.
Very professional. Got the schedule on the back.
You see that?
I guess that's how they do it in the
I can remember all these things.
The big time. When you're a real
professional. Remember all these things.
You don't just roll out of bed and do radio. You got to do prep. You got to know the number and the hashtag.
And put on your radio voice.
Put on your big boy pants. I have pants on this week, by the way.
Congratulations.
And I plan on keeping
them on
throughout.
So there's not going to be any moments between now and the start of this game in which you or Paul take your pants off.
Unfortunately not, because it's a national game, so we get booted. We got no TV tonight, so it's just Moose and Goose and company doing the broadcast.
And you're all going to keep your pants on, which is positive. Well,
I didn't guarantee it. I said probably not. I mean, I've been known to like to air it out a little if it gets warm in here.
So catch me up on what you said about Tom Brady, by the way, about how much he should play, will play, etc.
A couple series, maybe a smidge more than last week. Maybe you take it to a third series. Who knows? Especially if it were like last week and he doesn't throw on a series. Maybe three series would be enough. But I think you're going to see him, and I think you want to see him. We've had some fans who chime in. I know it's stupid, but I do really just want to see Brady. They want to know for themselves that he's out there, he's standing up, he's not limping, he's throwing passes, and that the scare they got earlier this week was legitimately just a scare. So
I would rather he not play at all.
Well, there's part of me, and I said this earlier, there's part of me that wants to see Ryan Mallett go wire to wire in a game. It's your game, Ryan. Prepare like a starter. You're going out there in the first quarter. You'll be out there in the third quarter. It's your game. I want to see how you handle this. I don't think we're going to see that. I do think there's a chance we don't see Tebow. I do think there's a chance we go from Brady right to Mallett, depending on the snaps and different things. But to me, I still want more from Mallett. It got cut short last week. And to me, this is an important time in his career. I said that last week. That was one of the biggest games of his career. I continue this preseason. You need to show me something, bud.
I would agree. I would agree that he needs to show some sort of improvement, some progression.
Yes.
There's got to be something there.
Although I've backed off a little. I had a bit of an epiphany, and you may not have heard this. But
I want to hear it, though.
It's my own personal comparison, and everybody else's, is unfair for Ryan Mallett because we watch Brady all the time. And it's just really not fair in practice to go from Brady and maintain the same analysis and evaluation and eyeballs and everything. And I've said, if he were just in Oakland and he were competing with Matt Flynn for a starting job and, you know, was getting a lot of reps, and would I look at him differently? Would I say, he's not great, he's not Tom Brady, he's not Peyton Manning, he's not a top 10 quarterback, but is he getting better? And if we ever had to see him for a full season, would he do the Matt Cassel? Would he improve?
Would he hit Josh Boyce when he's wide open?
He might. People make mistakes, you know. Let's not.
I know, but this is year three. I just want to see something there that makes me think, you know what? He's not great. He's not Tom Brady. I get that part of it, but just a little bit better.
I agree.
Just showing some gradual, steady improvement.
That's the issue. Has he developed? Has he improved? Is he better now than he was 3 weeks ago? Is he better now than he was a year ago? I don't know the answer to that. And my inclination is to say he is not. And that's concerning. That is obviously concerning that I say the same issues. Accuracy, timing, hitting receivers, all of that, decision making are still a problem. And I also say the flip side of it is maybe I'm being a little more positive on him because not only is he compared to the best quarterback in football, he's also compared to the worst quarterback in football. If there were a better three, would I be saying, Mallett better be careful or the three's on his tail? But there isn't a better three. The guy who's a three can't throw. So maybe that makes the two look better. So I'm totally confused in my analysis.
That's just a minor thing that he can't throw. Just a minor thing.
Everybody wants perfection. Quarterback should be able to throw the football.
Should make completions.
Should reach the line of scrimmage.
We should just all want winners. That's what we should want.
Should want Tom Brady to never get hurt is what we should want. Never retire. Never stop loving football and stay here. You know how, Billy Madison when the kid says, yes. I can't wait till high school. You don't ever say that. We should not be talking about the replacement, the draft pick, the heir apparent. No, we should want to hold on to Tom. Just clutch him, grab him, and hold him for as long as we can, because it's not going to be great afterwards.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. I'm Mark Bertrand. I'm also late again today. Still employed as far as I know. Please don't fire me. Please don't.
I'll be honest
that.
With you. I think if there was someone else, you might be fired, but I'm not sure they have somebody to turn to.
We're at the end of the line here.
It is what it is. You're like Will Spitek.
We burned through Jones last
right!
year. Now it's on to Beadle, and this is who we're stuck with now.
I get it. For better or worse, we're stuck with you.
We're in this together. 855-PATS-500 if you want to give us a phone call. We do, as we say, the pregame social. We would prefer that you be social with us.
Sure.
855-728-7500, which is 855-PATS-500. Locally, 508-298-0398. If you're tweeting today leading up to the game, make sure you put that hashtag in there, PPGS, Patriots Pregame Social. And email us if you'd like, webradio@patriots.com. If you're going to be taking some of the polls, have we gone to the poll center yet? How are things in the poll center today? Darren, we doing okay?
We're doing all right. We went to the poll center earlier today on Tom Brady.
Why don't you ask Mark, since he's a little late, the
question.
Let's
go. Catch me up on the poll center. By the way, if you want to get in on those polls, facebook.com/NewEnglandPatriots.
He's using his whole little sheet over
there. I had to go through the sheet.
I got everything.
I want to cover all the bases.
we're just winging it over in the poll center. So, so the first poll was about Tom Brady, obviously. On a scale of 1 to 5, how concerned are you about Tom Brady's knee?
One being the least amount of concern?
One being the least.
I would put it at a one.
Me too. But yep. Paul Perillo, who you may have noticed stepped out for a minute to do a hit on the CBS pregame show, was in a three area.
Three?
Yes, he's concerned. He's worried about him starting the year not quite healthy, not
quite
perfect.
What does he know
perfect.
That we don't know?
I don't know, because I am not worried at all. To me, it was totally precautionary. Let's get this checked out. You've had a previous injury on this knee. Let's not be stupid. Let's go get it looked
at. Give him a hug.
It's fine. Give him a hug.
Kiss him on the boo-boo.
And we'll get right back out there. And he's back out
there. Do all those
things? No question. Yeah. So I'm not worried.
The voters are agreeing with Andy. 59%. Although that has gone down a little bit since.
What's second?
So the second, this new poll that we have up.
No. What's second place on that first poll?
Okay. Two.
Okay,
22%.
So, yep. So
we're in the 1-2 range.
81% are really not all that worried.
That makes me feel good about it.
Good. So sanity.
Only 7% are extremely concerned.
Okay.
Okay, next poll. Next up.
All right, well, we had a discussion about the wide receivers a little bit ago, and the question was, who will lead the Patriots in receiving tonight?
Tonight. Not during the season.
Tonight's game.
Who will lead the Patriots in receiving? Do I have options? Is this an ABC choice?
You do have options.
What are the options?
Aaron Dobson, Josh Boyce, Kenrell Tompkins, Sudfeld, and Julian Edelman.
I am going Zachariah Sudfeld.
Not sure what his full name is, but we're going with Sudfeld. I'm going to go with Tompkins.
Oh, copycat. You know, because he led last week, he's going to lead again.
Fine. You want me to switch? Center? Do you want me to switch?
I don't care.
I can switch if you want. I'm going to go Tompkins.
Pole Center has 50% on Tompkins.
Yeah.
What have you done for me lately? And they just follow up and think it's going to happen again. Not that easy all the time for young receivers to do stuff like that.
Well, not only that, I mean, Tompkins still has to prove. I mean, he still has to prove things.
Heck yeah.
So he's fighting for a job in the NFL.
I was just going with, I don't think there's depth at tight end, and especially if Ballard can't play a long time, that Sudfeld could play with the ones, the twos, and the threes.
Well, 6%. I was using a little, like, weird reasoning.
Don't use reasoning or logic.
Well, there's 6% that are right.
Go with the guy.
Now it's 8.
Now it's 8. See? You're in the top 8% if you believe that Zach Sudfeld is going to be the leading receiver. Dobson is also one that I'd throw out there because he did not have a great first game. What was it, like 2 of 7? Didn't he have a bunch of targets and only a couple catches?
Yep.
So I think Dobson could be due, although he's had a really inconsistent week dating back to last Friday. He's had some drops in practice. What do they say? The bloom is off that flower just a little bit over the last week.
855-PATS-500. Let's get to an email. What do you say? We've got a couple of emails here about the receivers and some questions here.
Is our webpage down? Should I be concerned?
Webpage is
Patriots.com. That's working?
Yeah, sure. I think maybe it's your connection.
No, it could be. I have a big gray box in the middle of the webpage with a little thingy spinning. But feels like that shouldn't be.
I think that's a
problem. As they say in the business, that looks like valuable real estate on the homepage.
Yeah,
that
but don't you have to go to the Facebook page to listen to the show? So that would.
No, I'm just asking if this should be this. And if
I don't care about our webpage.
This guy. I do. I'm a team company manager.
I care about the show.
I'm pretty sure it's a you problem. I don't think it's a website problem.
The show's going to go on regardless.
Okay, the show will go on. So go on to an email then.
All right, let's read some emails. Alex writes in, if I was a receiver trying to make the team, I would not want Tebow throwing me the ball.
I think Paul read that.
I'm sorry. This one already got read.
I don't
read.
Think we actually discussed it, though.
No.
Something happened.
This one was brand new.
I think I broke in about that groundbreaking phone call.
He was all excited.
He had the best phone call, Mark. You missed it in my history here.
How do you know it wasn't Mark? Maybe he called from his car.
We had a woman call in and asked if it was free to go to the game tonight.
Free?
Yeah, she asked if it was free to come to the game.
Yeah, I would say not. Not free tonight. Nope, you're going to need a ticket to get into the game tonight.
Certainly. And
you know what, though? That's really weird because someone else asked me this week, when I said, the practices between the Patriots and Buccaneers is open to the public. I said those practices are open to the public this week. All three of them scheduled to be. This is the start of the week. And then they have a preseason game Friday night. And she said, is that open to the public as well? I said, yes, it is open to the public, but you need a ticket to get entrance. You're not going to be admitted without a ticket, but it is open to the public.
Hey, boss, you're a loser.
Yeah, you definitely need a ticket. You also need to be aware of the new bag policies. It might be a little late if you're listening to us or whatever. You may be in the area, but you cannot bring in big bags anymore. Anything you need to bring in basically has to be either tiny. I didn't even know what they called them, a slouch or a pouch or something, or clear. Clear, one-gallon freezer bags. Hand-sized bags for the ladies that are okay, but
as I read it, 7 inches by 9 inches by 2 inches thick. That was what I read earlier.
Wow, he memorized
week.
The inches.
7 by 9 by 2, Paul. So if your bag is bigger than that,
My man purse?
If your man purse is bigger than that, you're going to need to go out and buy a clear bag.
They do sell them at a number of points throughout the stadium. You can buy a few different types of bags that will be allowed in. And if you purchase anything in the Patriots Pro Shop, they have new clear bags that allow you to bring your purchases into the stadium. But a bit of a change tonight in the policies in terms of bringing stuff into the stadium.
Can I share my opinion on this? I think it is awesome. No more people with their bags. Leave your bags at home.
Did a lot of people bring bags?
I said the same thing to Andy. I said, I don't know why you just make the rule, sweeping rule. No bags.
No bags. But, so you got to have some bags.
But no, I understand.
Diaper bags, things like that.
I get that.
There's another whole side issue that we can go on.
Why are you bringing a kid in diapers?
If you're bringing a baby that needs diapers, your kid should be taken away from you. How's that sound?
I would agree with that.
If you're taking a baby to a National Football League.
Who are you yelling at?
Why are you yelling?
People that take babies to National Football League games.
Does it even happen?
No, I would absolutely say, listen, if you wanted to have a sweeping generalization, no bags, by all means, you know, there are people that
there are exceptions to that.
Yes, there are medical exceptions.
Correct.
You know, insulin, you know, all kinds
of things.
Any
kind of medication you would need to bring personalized.
We get it. There are things that, it's just like in the airlines. If you need to bring baby formula, you can talk to the people at TSA. You can get it through.
Now, listen, this isn't really a guy problem, I don't think. I mean, although I do see guys with their duffel bags and their backpacks.
Oh, like, backpacks.
Leave them at home,
backpacks,
man.
Backpacks are prevalent out there. It's ridiculous.
Right. But
what are you bringing a backpack to
early season?
Okay. In the winter, I could see.
A quick apple and banana. You are types.
But do you ever ask your wife, like, what's in that giant bag? What's in the giant bag?
My wife would never bring a bag to a football game.
I know, I'm just saying, but you see it all the time. You see giant. Well, you don't even need your giant bag for. Leave your bag at home. Leave your bag. This is a great rule. I'll tell you, the NFL is making stadiums more secure.
I'll tell you something.
And they're just cleaning up the general act of the bag.
The Felger influence. Love it. On the Beetle is so apparent.
Isn't it? Your bags at home. You bring your bags.
Call us back on a clearer line.
Yo, bag.
You and your bag. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Brandon's in California today. What's up, Brandon?
Yo, what's going on? Long time no talk.
Brandon, don't bring your bags to the game. Leave your bags at home.
My question is kind of off topic. It's not football related. It's actually baseball related. And since you guys are in Boston, I want to know if you guys have any word on Clay Buchholz.
You know this is the Patriots pregame social, correct?
Just moved on from that. There's just no point in sticking.
You want to get high?
By the way, he calls in a ton, though.
Oh, yeah.
The PFW.
Yeah.
I pick up the phone, and he's like, hey, it's Brandon in California. And then when he gets on the air with you, he's like,
killing me, Brandon.
He took Dr. Sanjay Gupta's advice, and he is now using marijuana to make his life better.
There's no hope with dope.
That's my favorite.
There's no hope with dope.
He just called a Patriots pregame show on a Patriots
fan
page.
To ask a question about Clay Buchholz, who hasn't been on the field in 3 months.
Because, quote, you guys are in Boston. We're actually in Foxborough. We're not in Boston. And there are other places you could call. All these radio stations stream now.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
I just think it's fascinating that the guy just called us.
Guess who we just got an email from?
Fred Church.
Somebody complaining about bag talk.
Nope. Definitely not.
What?
Strippers.
Oh, nice. What's up, strippers?
Your guy, strippers.
It's our guy.
He is our guy.
He's a friend of the family.
He's a friend of the show.
He's pretty much
a part of the Patriots.com radio family here. He writes, everyone says the Patriots will run more this year. Last year, the Pats ranked second in the NFL in total run attempts. They already run a lot.
I agree with strippers.
Now they'll have to run when the other team might think they might run.
Yeah. Will they be as successful running this year as they were last year when it was an afterthought to the defense?
And how will they run?
That's the question.
How will they run?
When will they run?
Do you think that Stephen Ridley
could put one foot in front of the other?
Yeah, that's a great answer. Do you think Stephen Ridley could have 290-plus carries for a second straight season? Is he that kind of back?
If he stays healthy, is that what you're asking?
Well, healthy or not, is he a workhorse back? That's a lot of carries over a two-year span, 600 carries.
I think yes, but...
I mean, the guy gets tired at the end of the first run of the game. How's he going to make it through a 300-carry season?
I mean, it's going to sound like a cop-out, but...
Always does.
If he stays healthy and if he holds on to the football, I think that he will get 290 carries again. But those are two huge ifs.
But I'm not even talking about an injury. I don't know.
You're saying, is he big enough to hold
up
to that?
Doesn't look to me like a two straight 300 carry type guy.
Yeah,
I guess Emmett didn't really look like it either.
I would disagree with that. I think that he's more than capable of doing.
I don't know. When I look at Adrian Peterson, I look. This guy was chiseled. He was chiseled out of granite. He's ready for this. I'm not sure Ridley really looks like that.
Every once in a while, Beetle, he goes into like an accent, and we don't really know why.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Chiseled out of granite.
There's a lot of things that come out of his head, this brain, that no one can really explain.
All right, we're going to take a quick time out here on the Dunkin' Donuts.
You just got here.
Pregame social so we can regroup, and put this thing back on the rails.
1 hour down.
And 1 hour down. It was a great hour, guys.
Felt like you weren't even here for 15 minutes
of
it?
Time flies when you are having fun. Don't go anywhere.
More hard-hitting facts and analysis coming up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo sacks at Gerard Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of the summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com.
So professional.
So scripted.
Scripted.
Your little sign.
One might say it's almost laminated.
I don't want a little plastic stand,
you know,
right in front of you.
I just don't want to screw up the numbers. That's why the numbers are the biggest thing.
Don't worry about it. I do it all the time.
You can't screw up those numbers. I deal with a lot of these phone numbers, so I got to make sure I get them all right.
I would do that if I were you, because you're used to doing your...
There's a different number stuck in my head that I just...
You don't want to be like Bill Burt.
Give out
your cell phone number on the air.
Yes. 855-PATS-500. That is the correct number if you want to give us a call.
What is that?
North American
North American toll-free number. That's what
like
that is.
North American.
The North American toll-free number, 855-PATS-500, or if you want to hit us up on that local number, 508-298-0398 on Twitter. You want to use hashtag PPGS. Now, if you, I also have you on there, Paul. So if you'd like to follow Paul on Twitter, you can do that at PFW Paul.
See yeah, that? I think I've maximized my followers.
What, so what number are you
I'm
on?
Not getting any more. How many do I have? About 7,000.
I think you could do better than that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't. I'd have to tweet in order to get more than that.
Andy, what about yourself? Are you better than Paul on Twitter?
Andy's been on it a lot longer than
Slightly.
Me.
Slightly. But I haven't tweeted that much longer. I was one of those guys that joined Twitter early thinking it would go away just to see what was out there. And then
didn't go away.
Damn thing stuck.
Yeah, no, it's up to 7% of the world on Twitter now.
It's true.
7% of the world. 7%
of people are on Twitter now.
All right, so if you want to email us, you can do that as well, webradio@patriots.com. Last week in the game, what did you guys think of the Patriots pass defense? What did you think of the secondary, and what did you think of the pass rush?
I thought the pass rush actually was it showed up a little bit. It wasn't dominant or anything, but I thought they were around the quarterback as the game went on. The secondary, however, I am not as optimistic on. I thought it could have been a lot worse had, you know, not – the quarterback's not been inexperienced. Guys like Matt Barkley in particular, I thought, missed.
He was terrible.
He missed a number of wide open receivers in the game. I didn't think the coverage was too tight. I thought the tackling was shoddy, which is kind of to be expected in the first preseason game. These guys haven't really tackled all summer. We know the big one on the touchdown to Salas, where Logan Ryan and Tavon Wilson both whiffed on the screen, but I didn't think the secondary play was all that strong, and obviously the play that was in the spotlight was the big one early, with Aqib Talib, which evidently Bill Belichick has described as a play that was indefensible. Anytime an offense
Ball's
executes
talking with his hands again.
Anytime an offense executes to that level, Andy, you can't stop it, which I would disagree with. You can run with the receiver and be, you know.
Talib didn't take the out. Give
no,
him credit.
I'm all with Talib.
He went out. He went in. Ran fast. I couldn't catch him.
He touchdown. Ran by me. I couldn't
catch
him.
Touchdown.
Ran by me. I couldn't catch touchdown.
Which, you know, good for Aqib Talib, because that's what happened.
And a better matchup for him tonight with the bigger receivers. Well, he could still get toasted. They're good. But bigger receivers that he's more suited towards necessarily than the quicker DeSean Jackson types. You see him against Vincent Jackson. You see him against Mike Williams. I'm intrigued at the other side that who's playing. You know, do we see Andy McCourty at all, first of all? Does he suit up? And
I would guess no, right?
I would guess, but I don't know. Well, wait and see. I'm a little baffled by the red jersey. He seems to do everything
that you can in a practice, but yet still has a red jersey on. So I don't really understand why.
So maybe it's just overly cautious again, but the secondary to me, after the receivers, is the primary focus of the entire team. Is
I agree.
Who's playing safety? And now, even more so with a little bit more McCourty at corner, is that an option? Are we now thinking that because of the Dowling-Dennard situation, McCourty has to go back to corner, and we're going to have Gregory and Wilson? Is Daron Harmon rising? What could he be in this mix? Where's Tavon Wilson going? Is he falling? And the Adrian Wilson thing, I think a lot of people just want to see, what's he going to be? What can he be? Is, you know, some people think he's going to get cut.
Paul? Well, I said that a long time ago. I feel like that he's.
What does that mean? I said that a long time ago.
Does that mean you still believe it or no?
Yeah. Oh no, I think there's a chance, but I think depth might be an issue. And Andy just sort of charted the depth right there. I think that's if he doesn't get cut, I think that's going to be the reason why.
So he deserves to be cut. He's not one of your best 53.
Oh, right now?
Yeah,
he is.
But I mean, assuming Dowling and whatever, when you comprise your defensive backs, he's not one of the best.
I think Gregory and McCourty are better than him. Clearly better than him. And then if you're going to go to your backup safeties, I'd rather go with young guys. I'd rather go with, Tavon Wilson and Daron Harmon.
Could Wilson get cut?
Absolutely.
Tavon, I mean.
Yes.
I just asked the same question twice.
But I was just about to ask both of you
just
that,
out
based
of,
on what you've
you know,
seen.
The pure hell that my last 10 years has been, I knew exactly what he was talking about.
Tavon.
Because I speak Andy. Listen, I think there's a chance that Adrian Wilson is that quote-unquote surprise cut. I just don't think that he offers much in coverage. And I don't think there's much of a call nowadays for an in-the-box, run-stopping, physical safety. If you can lay guys out over the middle in the passing game, then sure. And I say this is like my little Terry Francona disclaimer. Adrian Wilson has had a borderline Hall of Fame career. He is a terrific, terrific safety. I just don't think he's that guy anymore. I am not disrespectful of Adrian Wilson's career. I think he's had a tremendous NFL career as a safety. I just don't think he can cover anymore.
But there's no indication of him getting cut based on reps, certainly.
None.
He is with the first group. When they're going nickel and dime at times, he's out there as an extra defensive back when you think maybe he wouldn't be out there, even though the money
roll. I can't see him getting cut based on what we're watching in practice every day. I can't see
that. That would be the shocker to me. Not the idea that a guy that lost a step could get cut, but he's been out there all the time with the first group, even though it's not a first group yet. You know,
we don't have a first group, so I don't know what you're talking about. Logan Ryan and Harmon are the two guys specifically that I
the Scarlet Knights
that I'm watching. You know, 2 third-round picks, both from Rutgers.
There's another one of those accents.
Yeah,
it'll
just come and go, and after a while,
it's a Jersey accent. I don't know if it's accurate or
you won't even realize it after a while. But those two guys, you know, Andy talked about Harmon is sort of rising, and he passed Tavon Wilson. Kind of as the fourth safety, I would say, assuming they're all healthy. He's made some plays. Logan Ryan, I think, after a really tough start to camp, has come on. And I thought in practice on Wednesday, I think, the day that we were banned from the premises for a while, Andy, I thought he had a really good practice.
Just the two of us.
He had a really good practice that day. I thought he, as Brian Morey once said in this program to rave reviews, he got his hands on a lot of balls. That practice that day.
Cracked himself up with that one.
No,
sure did.
Hunter Bryan.
Sure did. It is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. So, again, be social. Be social with this program.
Oh, look at this guy.
PPGS, the hashtag on Twitter. Here's another email. Email for you. This one we have not read. From
you
Jacob.
Said about the last one.
Hey, guys, I haven't really heard a lot about Chandler Jones this training camp, but what have you seen from him so far? Does he look like the 15-sack guy we all hope he can be?
Yeah, I'm not quite there with what I've seen. I thought that play last week was really nice when Tommy Kelly wrapped him up and he kind of came in, swatted the ball free. To me, that's what he can do with that length and with that athleticism coming off the edge. I'd like to see a little more from him tonight. Certainly next week we'll see more, but he is such an important player, and you just haven't seen like the wow factor that, yep, he's going to be J.J. Watt this year. He's awesome. No one can block him. Unstoppable. I'd like to see a little more of that.
Well, I would agree with Andy that we haven't been wowed yet. I would also say that training camp, it's kind of tough to wow at that position.
Sure.
Because you're not really getting after the quarterback with a tremendous amount of intensity. Because, unfortunately, we saw why on Wednesday.
Yes.
When Adrian Claiborne had Nate Solder going the wrong way, bad things can happen. And there was no intention to get around the quarterback and to prevent him from throwing, but that's what happens when bodies are going down around the quarterback. Sometimes guys can get injured. So I don't necessarily say the fact that we haven't seen Chandler Jones dominate means that he can't be that 15-sack guy that Andy and I have sort of been billing him as throughout the offseason.
Hashtag PPGS. Want to read a couple of tweets here for you?
Sure. Go ahead.
I think you'd enjoy it.
Go ahead.
One, Brandon from Cali was trolling us. He then posted about it on the internet. Thank you for that. And also, Michelle
was
wants
it everything
to know,
you'd thought it would be?
Michelle wants
I'm sorry
to know,
we didn't have the Clay Buchholz scouting report for you. He'll be back September 1st.
We hope. Why were we arguing about merces, man purses?
Oh.
Because Paul really and Mark really really escalated with those
keep
two
your
really
bags
quickly.
At home.
They both got angry over the most boring non-story non-issue.
See, Andy, that's another thing you'll learn about Andy. It's only important if it's important to Andy.
I learned it from Felger.
If it's important to Andy, then it's important.
Well, the bag issue is a very important issue.
I just have seen so many stories and emails about bags this week.
Don't understand the importance of the issue.
No.
They're cleaning up the
it's
game.
All,
they're
it's all
cleaning
fun and
up
games.
The sport of football.
I've
right
never
there.
Tripped over a bag they're, in an aisle.
They
I've
are,
never.
They are forcing their fans to be better fans. The NFL will have better fans now.
Okay.
Because they are bagless.
I've also never brought a bag to a game. So
no, nor have I. Our buddy Bert Breer says Police Commissioner Ed Davis in the house tonight.
Yes, they are honoring the some of the first responders and those involved with the Boston Marathon bombings tonight. Right.
Technically, just law enforcement.
Oh,
officials.
Law enforcement.
Law
general.
Enforcement, yep. Yes. Darren, what do we got in the poll center?
We have a question about the running backs.
Nice.
We were talking about that earlier. Which Patriots running back should be second on the depth charts behind Stephen Ridley?
Now, are we divvying this up like traditional back, third down back, or what's this question?
Okay, I can rephrase it, kind of.
This is how we should phrase it. Who will be the second best running back
sure.
on this team? Assuming.
Shane Vereen. Well, Shane Vereen might be the best. So how do I answer it?
Well, see, that's the problem. It's already stacked in favor of Ridley. Ridley's not an answer.
Really just a great question.
No, I know, but yeah, it's under the presumption he's the best. What if I think Shane Vereen's going to be the best?
It's under the presumption that he's the starter.
Okay, but again, do I go Shane Vereen with as much as I like Shane Vereen, or am I saying that Blunt is the true backup?
I'm going Shane Vereen.
But he's a third down back. It's different
position. Okay, I think he's going to have the second most carries on the team.
I am confused by the question.
Yeah. Poorly worded.
You know what, Darren? Next time you send an email out to everybody, you tell them if they have a problem with the wording of the questions, this is the time to address it. Not during the show. All right, Junior, do you remember I had your back here?
Yeah.
All right?
He does.
Because I had no problem with your question, and Shane Vereen was my answer.
Well, there we go.
Carry on.
Do we want to hear the results? Or do we
yes, please.
Yes, I want to hear some results.
All right. It's between Blunt and Vereen. Vereen got 68% and Blunt got 32%.
Yeah, so I won. As Andy would say, I win.
Well, you're right, I think, depending on how the question is really meant to be taken.
Blunt's getting a lot of respect there. Yeah. A lot of respect based on 1 week. I think people
He's also a 1,000-yard rusher.
And he's also,
I know, but still. I mean,
you know who's getting too much respect? Brandon Bolden. What did he do?
I don't get that part.
This is one of those examples of a thing that Andy deems important, so we're going to have a rant.
That's okay.
You know who's getting too much respect?
Brandon Bolden
does get a lot of respect as if, you know, he's got a spot and somehow Blunt has to overcome Brandon Bolden.
I mean, the guy had one big game against, what, the Bills?
Yeah.
Had an injury, a suspension. I mean, what has he done as an undrafted rookie to say, you know,
what's
Brandon
he done?
Bolden? I mean, whereas LeGarrette Blunt has 100 yards in his first game for you, a nice long run, and he's 1,000-yard back.
100 yards in the first
game. See, that's the part
I'm talking
about.
But he's 1,000-yard back. He's done more than Bolden has ever done, whether it's preseason, regular season, any season. Okay?
Getting some Corey Dillon comparisons.
Singing lessons, dancing lessons.
To Blunt on the comments.
Clock killing LeGarrette.
I personally think that Bill has an affinity for that style of back.
A lot of people do. J.R. Redmond does. He thinks it cost him his career.
Oh, okay.
You didn't read that? J.R.
Redmond
thinks his
career
was short here.
Another thing
that's
very important to Andy is the career, more short career of J.R. Redmond.
James Rodney Redmond.
Is that right?
I have no idea.
Jamal Rufus Redmond.
Jeremiah Reynolds.
I think that Bill likes the big power back.
Jebediah.
That'd be good.
John.
The real radio guy, I'm reeling him into my stupid stuff.
John Roger Redmond.
Unbelievable.
All right, here we go.
Yes, he does like big
1 hour to kickoff.
But, you know, Bolden is still a good-sized guy. He's not exactly Shane Vereen. He's not exactly Kevin Faulk. I mean, he's a bigger back.
No,
not as big as...
He's a power back.
Blunt's
but,
real big.
Yeah.
He's so big that he doesn't really want to talk about how big he is. Yeah, he we'll leave that up to the imagination.
He wouldn't say how much he weighed, huh?
Speculation I saw somewhere was 265.
265? That's a big back. That's a big back. That's Brandon Jacobs big.
But he showed last week he can move. I know he didn't have 100 yards, but
he is slow in getting started though.
You have to say
that.
Once that train is moving, get out the way.
Stephen Ridley looked slow last week.
Stephen Ridley was very slow. Someone attached
the
piano
to
his back.
Fresh on the first carry of the game. I mean, what are you looking for here?
Now, what do you think, Beetle, of the term "finish it"? He needs to finish that run. Would you have a problem with someone that used that term?
No.
Not necessarily in regard to that play, but the term itself. Finish it. Have you ever heard like a coach say something like that?
Yeah, like,
we
can he finish?
Finish.
Like, can he finish?
Okay. It's unanimous. I've never heard anybody who says that you don't say that.
I was criticized for saying that, and for some reason it has bothered Paul more than it has bothered me.
Well, I'm trying to fight the good fight for
Thankfully. Finally. Statler's with me.
Right? You don't
you
have
guys
to.
You guys
I mean,
are friends.
You'd like to think that if the tables were turned and I ever said anything that people, you know, would take such exception to.
People did make fun of you for that rickrolling thing I saw.
Yeah, but that was just a goof.
I still don't really get it.
Because you don't know what rickrolling is.
And the song and the whole thing.
Do you know what rickrolling
is? Yeah, never going to give you up. You even gave the lyric in the,
right.
in the
you.
Reference.
See? I'm hipper than you are, and that's why they understood.
Sad but true.
855-PATS-500.
Other than Tom Brady, who will be the Patriots' most important offensive skill player of 2013?
Now we're doing the sponsored poll questions for other shows.
No. The reason I did this, Beetle, and you wouldn't know, is we started this years and years ago. We started this at least 5 years ago, maybe more. We have all these questions that we ask, and they all start off with, other than Tom Brady.
Because every answer is Tom Brady. The most important Patriot. Who can't get hurt? Who's going to do this?
It's like when you and Fred make fun of my stuff for Die Hard Dogs, and it's, you know, this week's trivia, it's a Reggie Lewis. Well, you know, other than Tom Brady,
you know, who is the most?
Well, you got to.
It's just funny to me how often people do that now.
And even more so now.
We put that.
Welker's gone.
We put that in the
Gronk
mainstream.
Is hurt. So even
well, Gronk was one of the answers.
But he's not really an answer. I don't. What was the question?
He's not most really an answer. He doesn't know the question.
Most important skill player
after Brady in 2013.
Yeah.
See, so Gronk is an answer.
And I think in last year, I think Gronk was knocking on the door of Brady. It's different because he's a quarterback, but I mean, I argued he was the most irreplaceable player in the NFL.
Yeah, I know.
In the NFL.
I think it was a weak argument.
I don't.
I think we had about 2.5 weeks of arguments on this.
I think if you're looking to replace Tom Brady and you can draft in the NFL, you can do it. I think if you're looking to replace Gronk, it's harder to replace.
Yeah, I would disagree with that.
Okay, give me the guy.
I think average Joe tight end who is worse than Gronkowski is a closer facsimile than average Joe quarterback in relation to Tom Brady.
No, but I can draft Peyton Manning.
Okay.
If I have the whole NFL to work with.
So you can't draft anybody that's even remotely like Rob Gronkowski.
Nope.
It's just impossible
nope.
to find a guy who's big, can nope. block, and move.
Yep. Give me the name.
Okay. Okay. Why should I try?
Obviously, if you give me a name, you can sway me.
You decide. Arthur Lynch.
Oh, yeah. I like him.
Thanks.
2 years. I agree with that.
Right. Didn't take very long.
Let's go to the Thank phones. You. 855-PATS-500.
Just pick the guy who may right off, not get drafted in
right,
the
right off the top of my head. Just to let everybody know, that's a guy who's from Andy's hometown.
Great.
He plays for Georgia.
Number 2 tight end in the country
oh,
this year.
Oh, good to know. I'm going to keep an eye on
Keep an eye on Arthur Lynch.
I'm going to keep an eye on
Arthur Lynch will be a second-round pick and a star in the NFL.
That's exciting.
Good kid.
855
I don't like the tone of that.
No.
Yeah, no, it was pretty dismissive. That was kind of the point. Let's go to Nick. He's in Miami today. Again, 855-PATS-500 is the North American toll-free number if you want to jump on board.
Is he on it? Do you know what they're calling in on?
Nick, did you call in on the North American toll-free number?
Oh, Felger is just going crazy right now. Call us on a landline.
We're going to put you on hold there, Nick, and
see if we can get your phone straightened out.
Get a bad cell.
Phone situation figured out down there.
So no one shares my curiosity at all with Logan Ryan and
No,
Ron
I do.
Harmon.
But not specifically them. I just need to see a secondary that's going to come together at some point. Harmon, I'm more intrigued by. I don't want to see a young corner out there, really. I'm concerned about that whole position with Dennard and Dowling and Arrington. And
would you be more concerned if Dowling was out there? Or less?
More than Ryan?
Yeah.
Well, I want to see Dowling out there. Maybe that's how I would phrase it. I'm ready to try to find out what Dowling is.
I don't think you think that Dowling is very good.
I do not. I think he's a big, stiff corner who cannot turn and run with receivers.
That's pretty much word for word what I just said on the Sports Hub on the pregame show.
But
the other part of
it
is, I mean, is the guy ever going to see be on the field to be able to tell anything about him?
Doesn't seem that way.
But when he is on the field, that's what I see, what Andy just described.
So then maybe it's time to move on. Cut bait there on
That's
Rossi
a good Dowling. Topic. Maybe for a little later in a PPGS.
Week 4, when we're but really breaking down the roster.
The old cut bait. You know, Jake Beckett, are we cutting bait? Tavon Wilson, are we cutting bait?
It's going to be a good one.
Rossi Dowling.
Tavon Wilson,
I'm telling you, by preseason week 4, we're going to be rolling.
That would be
the biggest.
Really, that would be a big, you don't cut too many second-round picks.
Isn't the one
in
now Kevin O'Connell, I mean, quarterback, third-round pick.
But that was third year, right?
I believe it was year 2.
It was year 2?
I believe so.
You sure on that?
No.
I think it was year 3.
But he's going to say it with confidence.
No, that's what he does. I'm trying to learn from the old coot. He will say it with such confidence that I go, well, you can't possibly be wrong.
See, that's incorrect.
There's another accent.
If I say something with supreme confidence, that means I think
I'm pretty sure
he
was cut
right.
in year 2.
Paul's going to check
it. If you made me bet, I would definitely bet it was year 2.
Okay.
Phone number.
I thought it was his third year that he
I think
got
you're
caught.
Wrong.
855-PATS-500.
Want to bet a dinner on it?
Okay.
Can you get it here right now?
Oh, no.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And again, that hashtag PPGS if you want to tweet us as well.
Joseph Robert Redman.
Yes, that just came in.
Andy Hart was correct.
Did you say that?
No. It was year 2 for O'Connell that he was cut.
I was talking about J.R. Redman.
So that trend could continue with Jake Beckett.
Joseph Robert Redmond.
Yes.
Was J.R. Redmond.
I did not say that. I said Jebediah Reynolds or something.
I said James Rodney only because that's J.R. Richard.
Rodney.
So there you go. Now we know what it was. Joseph Robert Redmond. And Andy is very upset about how his career was shortened. And
he was upset.
Well, Andy's career was shortened?
No, that J.R. Redmond's career was shortened.
No, I it was just an example. I'd never heard a player really voice something like that, that, you know, well, he likes big backs, and that's why I wasn't kept around to. And that's basically what J.R. Redmond said.
Sounds like an excuse.
Yeah, oh, yeah, certainly.
Let's try Nick in Miami again.
Well, that might be true with J.R. Redmond, but I think it's also true of Belichick. I think if you look at the Antoine Smiths, the Corey Dillons, now trading for a guy like Blunt, I think he does like the bigger back.
What's his name? I mean, the guy drafted a fullback in the top 10.
Tommy Vardell.
Oh, yeah, him. Touchdown Tommy. He's got a quarterback who's big.
I mean, Nick, you get big. That phone sorted out.
Yeah.
Nick!
Hello.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Sorry about that. Weird going on down here.
I hear
Anyways,
you,
I have a question about concerning our quarterback thing. God forbid this happens, but if for whatever reason Brady can't play and we're finding ourselves in a situation where it's an extended period of time where he can't play, who would you guys put in, Tebow or Mallett, based on what you've seen so far?
Mallett.
Mallett.
Okay.
Easy. I mean, I think Mallett has the theoretical tools to be an NFL starting quarterback.
Now, here's where I'll go with the Tebow files. If that's the case, and you're going, say, 10 weeks, and Mallett's your quarterback, now I am incorporating a package for Tim Tebow.
Right.
Where he can run out of the pistol and come into a game and give that other team something else to prepare for, and I might try to make sure that I do that every week, that I get him involved in the game somehow. But I do not want Tim Tebow being my quarterback for any stretch of plays during the course of a game.
Well, because if you get to that point, it's no longer, well, now I'm bringing the best quarterback in the world off the field. Now I'm bringing a guy who's fighting to prove himself.
Exactly.
Out. Right.
Now I could substantiate.
And
it.
Now there's a legitimate, big, strong-arm pocket passer as opposed to a guy who can't throw, but he's going to give you problems running the football. Now you really divvy that defense up a little.
And I also think that, you know, Tebow does provide an element of danger to a defense when he can run.
Yes.
Now, I think if you ask him to play all the time, I think that can be contained. And I think we saw that, you know, when he played, the year that he played the whole season was 2010 or 11. No, 11.
11.
The year that he won the AFC West. He lost his last 4 out of 5 games that he played. The one win was the terrific performance that he had against Pittsburgh in the playoffs. Otherwise, they were just one miserable performance after. I think that was the start of what you're seeing defenses sort of figure out how to contain him for 60 minutes. And let's face it, when he was winning games, he wasn't exactly lighting it up either. They were winning 7-6.
47%.
So I think that if you have Mallett, I'm absolutely okay with throwing Tebow out there. But Mallett is by far and away the better option, I think, as the regular quarterback.
Let's talk to Zach. He's in Revere tonight. Hi, Zach.
Oh, hey, this is actually Mike. I'm sorry.
It's all right, Mike.
I want to talk about Zach Sudfeld, if that's okay.
Zach sure. Sudfeld.
Bring it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this guy. He's an undrafted rookie free agent. He's an inch taller than Gronkowski. And I just want to know what you guys think about what he can bring to this offense as far as, you know, being a much bigger blocker than Hernandez. And he catches the ball well, according to all that I've followed in camp.
Catches the ball phenomenally.
He catches the ball really well. He's got very soft hands. I think he's probably a little limited athletic. I don't think he's been wide open. I think he's been pretty tightly covered. And he has talked. I talked to him a little bit earlier in camp. He feels like he needs a lot of work in the blocking department.
Really? Because, I don't know, with the physical tools that he brings, you know, 6'7", I mean, it's good that he wants to work on his game. But do you think he could be the number two tight end along with Gronkowski, or do you see it as maybe Fells' job to lose or... what do you guys think?
Well, that's an interesting point that you bring up, too, because Andy and I have been very high on Fells all summer. Now, all of a sudden, he got hurt on Tuesday and left practice and did not was it Tuesday? Yeah, and then he missed practice Wednesday and Thursday. So I would be stunned to see him tonight. Looked yes. like a shoulder problem.
Left shoulder by the looks of what they were testing.
So this is, I think, a potentially really, really bad thing for Daniel Fells. I think he needed all of this time. I think he was having a really good camp. Bill talked about what a great spring he had leading into camp, and I think he really built on that, but now he's unavailable. So I don't know what to... I think Sudfeld, to me, if you're taking Fells out of the equation, Sudfeld is very much in the line for that number two job behind a guy like Gronk. I think the Who-Man has done a lot of different things, but I'm not sure he's the guy you want sort of as an inline blocking tight end full-time. But I think he's pretty versatile. He can come out of the backfield and do some of that stuff. And, you know, where Jake Ballard is physically, who knows? I mean, I know that he was out there doing a lot of strength work tonight. according to the PPGS Twitter feed with Moses Cabrera. I'm not still sold on that whole Jake Ballard experiment yet. I have to
see
more.
Be interesting to see if he, I think it was 12 snaps last week, if he expands on his playing time.
Double?
I mean, at some point you need to decide, is this guy...
Can he play?
Yeah, can he play? I mean,
physically,
it's not that far away. Well, both. But it's because we've talked about it. If he's lost something that is never coming back athletically and speed-wise, can he play and can he play? Can he get on the field? And when he's on the field, can he be productive as he once was?
That's another Randyism. Can he play and can he play?
I gotcha.
I did too.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I speak
See,
Andy.
It's not
I
a bad ism.
I know what you mean. We'll take more of your emails at webradio@patriots.com. 855-PATS-500 is the telephone number. That's the North American toll-free number here on Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. 508-298-0398. Use that hashtag PPGS. You want to check in on the Facebook polls, do so at facebook.com/New England Patriots. We'll get an update in that poll center from Darren coming up. We'll take a quick timeout. Fresh poll coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. But Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of the summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Dante Hightower, the New England Patriot, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paul Perello on the Patriots Pregame Social.
We're back on Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, getting ready for Patriots and Buccaneers tonight at Gillette Stadium. 855-PATS-500 is the telephone number for you, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-728-7500, 508-298-0398. Web radio at patriots.com is where you can get to us on email. Please send in your emails. Any pictures today? We need to get some photos.
I asked for them. In the opening segment,
I'm not sure.
We need some photos. We need some photos of you.
That's unfortunate.
Maybe tailgating, maybe cooking out in the backyard.
Keep in mind, it's still the preseason.
Yeah, we might get some of those in September.
Yeah, we get a lot more fan interaction and that type of stuff. Photos during regular season, Sunday, they focus on it.
A lot of people outside tailgating.
Yeah, but we have a coworker who calls this the mailman game because everybody gives their tickets to their mailman if you're a season ticket holder. They're not the regular crowd.
What's wrong
with the mailman? Nothing, but you give them away. And he just shows up, and he doesn't necessarily tailgate. He's not the regular fan, not necessarily the people that'll be here in September with massive tailgates and the excitement and the
fun.
It's
pretty active tailgate scene out there.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Is that why you were late getting in? You had to dodge the tailgate scene?
No, I wasn't dodging the tailgates. The tailgating was not a problem whatsoever.
He actually stopped and partook.
Stopped, had a beer, you know, said hello to the
people. If I'm going
to
be late, I might as well be late.
If I'm going to be late, let's be fashionable about it. You know, be very fashionable. All right, again, that email address, webradio@patriots.com, and check out the polls on Facebook, the New England Patriots Facebook page. Darren's got a fresh poll for us.
Hot off the presses. The last poll of the night, actually.
He's got a fresh poll.
It's barely been used.
Oh, wait, it's not Eric. Come on.
Brand new.
Okay, so we're going back to Tom Brady.
Untouched.
A virgin poll.
Well, some of the answers are untouched. How many snaps do you want Tom Brady to play tonight?
17.
Well, that's not an option.
Zero.
Why
what
don't
are
you
the options?
Give
zero
me the
option?
The options.
I'm gonna go with
20. Options are 0, 10 or less, 20 or more, or 50 or more.
Zero.
Zero.
20 or less, I'll
10
take.
10 or less. 20 or less?
I'll go 20 or less.
Well, it's 10 or less or 20 or more.
Did you say 50 or more?
Or 50 or more.
Who would want him to play 50 snaps?
It got 15%.
Shut up.
Yeah.
People want Tom Brady to play 50 snaps.
50 snaps or more got 15%.
I think they misunderstood the question.
Well, hey, during the break, we were talking about not getting any tailgating photos. Well, we got one.
Can I see it?
Yeah, later.
Are we not going to post it?
No.
We got a photo. We're getting photos.
Oh, you took it down.
Oh, I'm sorry. And we'll get that up for you. We'll get that up for you. We're trying to concentrate on the
I'm
going
right
to
go... you know, around 15 is what I'm looking for.
Yeah. 20.
I know that wasn't an option. But yeah, I'm not complaining about the polls. Darren, because I read them and I had no problem with the work that
you should
even though his answer was 15. So
I don't have a problem with it.
20 or more got 60%. And nobody voted 0%. Or zero snaps.
See, normally I would have voted for zero, but I do think
vote for zero.
I'm falling.
Nobody voted the right answer, which is in the teens.
Here's where Andy declares the right answers. I love
what Andy thinks is the right answer.
My favorite part of
the
show every week.
50 or more is the right answer. Let's roll. 2 days ago, he was in an MRI tube. Let's roll him out there for 50 snaps in the second preseason.
No, he just had an incident. Normally, I would say zero would be my preseason game two. I'm not a big preseason he has to play kind of guy, but I will fall into the cliche of this summer. I do think that he benefits from the young guys. He needs to get on the same page with these young guys. Give him 15 snaps. Make sure he stays healthy. Get him out of there.
I don't know what this means, but as always, we are interactive via Twitter, and our friend Eric Scalavino chimes in on the hashtag PPGS with...
Scales? How are you, Scales?
Tom Brady sporting a big brace on his left knee tonight. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's bigger than usual. He wore a big brace on his left knee last Friday night.
Right.
So,
he wears it at the games. He just hasn't been having it at practice.
And if he went out there without a brace, then I would vote for zero snaps tonight.
Correct. Correct.
The brace thing is interesting because he didn't have it on the other day.
At practice, he hasn't been wearing it. We went back and looked at some of the joint practices in Philly, the photos that we had taken there, and he didn't have it on there either.
I don't like that.
But I don't either. Andy and I were all over him.
Interesting tweet from Field Yates. Brady takes customary run up Patriots sideline and back. On his return, gives a fist bump to Bucks defensive end, Adrian Claiborne, who pushed offensive tackle Nate Solder into Brady.
And felt bad about it. Felt bad about the whole situation. And then he said, is this an interview or an interrogation?
And it was a little bit of an interrogation.
You thought he was showing remorse in his comments after that practice?
Oh, I don't think he should have shown any remorse.
You thought he felt bad?
I think he felt bad that Brady was hurt. Yes.
Oh, I don't think he did, nor do I think he should feel bad.
No, I don't think he should feel bad because I don't think he did anything wrong.
He didn't.
There was no cheap shot. There was nothing. Everybody likes to declare themselves right in this, this show.
Wrong.
What am I a part of all of a sudden?
He didn't do anything wrong.
I agree with you. I don't think he did one thing wrong.
So there,
I thought, listen, that's open, the fist bump.
I mean, why the fist bump?
It's a very subjective thing.
You're not holding him accountable for anything. No hard feelings.
Well, I thought he said it was unfortunate. You don't want to be around the quarterback. I thought he did express remorse.
Well, Andy, it doesn't say who offered the fist bump. It doesn't say that Brady.
Yeah, but
out of his
either side could
bump.
Have declined the fist bump.
If someone was mad,
I mean, I don't know
fist bump talk.
Why he would decline it because he should have nothing against Adrian Claiborne.
But he could if he thought it was a cheap play, if he thought he went above and beyond the confines of a joint practice environment.
By the way, the joint practices are now over, and this has led to a discussion of, did joint practices lead to this the other day? I don't believe that is the case. Does anyone believe that? I think the joint
practices may have led to it, but I don't think it's going to lead to the end of joint practices or anything.
I don't think just the joint practices was the reason.
This would not have happened in a Patriots-only practice, is my belief.
I don't think it would have either. I agree.
I do not. It's a little different because you
Patriots
have...
Patriots don't have any defensive linemen. I'm joking.
I said this yesterday talking about it because Shiano was talking about how they had discussed the rules and you run by the quarterback. You only can run by a quarterback if you're on an edge rush, if you're Jason Taylor, if, you know, maybe you're Chandler Jones. If you're Adrian Claiborne, who's a defensive tackle, essentially, bull rushing, you can't run by. Right. You're trying to go through the
tackle. He was engaged with a blocker, and he was knocking
him
back.
And he finished him off. He was winning the battle. So I don't think this probably would have happened in just a Patriots practice, even in a live segment of Patriots practice, 11-on-11.
I also wanted to touch on something else that's not really related to this specific talk, but Brady.
Clay Buchholz?
No, Brady related. That's good.
When do you think you'll be back?
You're in Boston.
I'm going to go September 1st.
You live in Peabody. When's Clay Buchholz coming back?
That's one you got to give the crotchety old man credit for. Tony Maz on your show, Beetle, was well ahead of the curve with September 1st predictions on that one. But Brady last year did not play in the second preseason game. Did not.
At all.
Did not play at all. And a lot of people saying, well, you know, sometimes he doesn't play in the second preseason game. Wouldn't be uncommon. And I agree with that. And who knows, maybe he won't play tonight. I think he will. Seems like all the reports are indicating that he will see some action. But last year, remember, they had a very strange preseason last year where they had three games, I believe, in 8 days. And this was the middle one. And that's the reason why he didn't play, more so than anything else, last year. Now, there's been times where Bill has... fluctuated the playing time for Tom Brady, but I think last year specifically he didn't play in this game for a reason, and that was the abnormal schedule. Just wanted to point out.
So don't
the fact,
use that as a
You can't necessarily go on a barometer of what happened last year because this is more of a traditional Friday, Thursday is the preseason schedule this year. Last year it was something like Friday, Monday, Friday, or something crazy like that.
That's crazy.
Remember they had the Monday night game against the Eagles here in the middle, and then they had to go down on Friday and play Tampa?
Yes.
That was absurd.
Ridiculous. Well, as Bill said the other day, they don't make the preseason schedule.
They don't make the schedule at all. They have no control over that.
Nope.
855-PATS-500 is the phone
number.
8
at home, 8 in the road.
If you want to call here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots.
You don't interrupt the guy giving the number.
It's okay. 855-728-7500. Web radio at patriots.com. We have some emails. Emails from, let's read this one from David. David writes in, who do you guys see being able to compete with the Pats in the AFC East? Do you think the Dolphins have a chance to win the division with all of the new pieces they've added in free agency? And bonus question, there's a bonus. Do you see the Patriots trading Ryan Mallett in the future, or do you see him succeeding Brady? That's from David.
No, I don't see him succeeding Brady.
And no, I don't see them trading him in the future.
Yeah,
how about
not.
The Dolphins?
No, I don't see them competing in the AFC East.
Well, they're the only team that could.
Unless Brady gets hurt.
But they're the only team that could either way, with or without. I mean, the Jets are a debacle. As I heard an 11-year-old kid on the beach this morning point out that they were a debacle. When they were picking sides in a little touch football game on the beach, somebody goes, you want to be the Jets? I don't want to be the Jets. The Jets suck. They got no quarterback. Geno Smith threw three picks in 11-on-11 the other day.
Did he use the term debacle?
No, he just said they suck.
Oh, okay.
But and the Bills have no chance. So literally, it's only Miami, and I don't really buy that.
James writes in at webradio@patriots.com. He used to take a bag to the game. Now she stays at home.
Oh! Come on. There
we go, James. James emails, and I won't say his last name.
Just in case the old bag is listening.
Just in case. Eric writes in. Eric from Connecticut.
Not the press box.
Not from Foxborough.
Emails. Not that Eric. This is a different Eric.
We'll get to him later.
This is Eric in Connecticut. Eric in Connecticut says, I'm going to keep this short. If you had 3 to 5 things for a fan to pay attention to tonight, what would they be?
Three to five things to pay attention to.
Well, the young receivers.
The secondary developing.
Pass rush. The punting job. You didn't see that one coming, did you?
No.
And should we watch special teams in general? Gostkowski?
I was going to just say special teams.
Leon Washington, I'd like to see a little burst in the 19 yards.
I was disappointed all around last week in special teams.
Is he an excitable player?
And that got no talk.
Yes, I thought he was going to inject something into this return game, and it looked like last year. We have a human touchback back there.
Hashtag excitable player.
You got to the 21-yard line on kick returns. You gave up a 62-yard punt return. You missed two field goals. Not a good opener for the special teams and Scotty O'Brien.
No,
but there's a punter competition developing. I don't know if you guys have paid attention to the big punter.
I wrote about it this week. It'll be in your next issue of Patriots Football Weekly, which will be on newsstands on Tuesday.
Can't wait. I can't wait.
Hashtag can't wait.
Paul has been trying to run Zoltan Mesko out of town since early spring.
Paul's favorite player, arguably, is Zoltan Mesko.
Which makes it so painful for him.
So I am doing no such thing.
No such thing. That was Eric in Connecticut's
email.
Although
I did say hi to him the other day, and he kind of gave me a lackluster.
Because he's
heard. He knows.
I've been spreading this as loudly and as widely as I can.
Yeah, because I don't know what's so ridiculous about the idea of a two-time Ray Guy Award winner being a legitimate competition
for your
incumbent.
Good. Why were other people drafted ahead of him?
If Mesko was so good, why did other punters
Answer
make
the
Pro
question.
Bowl?
If Ryan Allen is so good, why were other punters drafted ahead of him?
I don't know why the other punters were drafted.
It's a fair question.
I don't know. Maybe they had.
You know, I don't know.
Maybe
Could
they
you
had.
Clarify that last sentence, please.
Well, maybe the other teams they had a need for a different kind of punter, and they didn't want one that was good. I don't know.
That was Eric in Connecticut's email, and now we go to our very own Eric Scalavino in the press box, inside the press box at Gillette Stadium, getting ready for.
There were
Patriots.
Two guys, by the way, two punters taken in the draft.
Eric, you are
correct.
Our
neither of them were the Ray Guy Award winner either of the last two seasons.
Eric, in all seriousness, you like to do special team stuff. You fancy yourself an expert in that area.
He likes it so much, he kept it in the notes.
Why do you think that Ryan Allen, the two-time Ray Guy Award winner who Paul is trying to use to run Zoltan Mesko off the team, went undrafted when a couple other punters were drafted?
You know, that's a great question. All I can say to that is somebody obviously wasn't paying attention because this Ryan Allen kid is pretty good.
But people knew that. I mean, the voters for the Ray Guy Award, whoever they are, I don't really know.
Right. And, yeah, not just once, but twice.
Only guy in the history of college football.
And All-American voters.
Able to win it back-to-back.
So All-American voters liked him. Ray Guy voters liked him.
Walter
and
Camp.
Exactly. Personnel directors didn't love him.
Well, I mean, well, you can also look at it this way. Why was Tavon Wilson drafted? Nobody else was going to draft him either.
You need to get past your Tavon Wilson thing.
All right. I mean, you know, just take your pick, though. I mean,
jeez, we get it. You think it was a bad pick. You've been ranting about it for a year and a half.
No, but obviously there are other coaches around the league or other personnel people around the league who feel like just because a guy has bona fides, it doesn't necessarily mean he deserves to be drafted. They'd rather take somebody else. So in the case of Ryan Allen and these other punters, some GMs or coaches around the league felt like these other guys were better prospects. I mean, that's their assessment. You can't really, you know, fault them for having an opinion. I mean, you might disagree with it, but that's their opinion. I've been impressed with what I've seen from Allen so far in camp, and I think it's a toss-up right now who wins the job.
I hear you. Let's move on to some of the things you're seeing tonight.
Who's in game pants?
And talking in some deal about game pants, we're seeing no McCourty, no Dennard. So the secondary is going to be a mix mash as it's been throughout much of the summer. What are we seeing back there?
Right, and no Dowling as well, which isn't too much of a surprise. But those three guys being out, you're probably going to see a lot more of Logan Ryan, who we saw a lot of last week, probably Justin Green, those younger guys, maybe even Laquan Lewis, the new guy who was signed recently, to fill those spots, because they just don't have the bodies there. As we saw last week, that the pass defense suffered, I think, as a result. But a guy like Ryan has started to come on up late. He certainly had his struggles in the beginning of camp, but he's been going in the right direction. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of him tonight and hopefully better from him tonight. And with no McCourty back there again, which is kind of odd, really, because he's doing everything. He's the only guy other than the quarterbacks wearing a red jersey in practice, but he's taking part in everything, where there are these other guys who are quote-unquote injured/rehabbing wearing their normal jerseys and not participating in practice. McCourty's flying around at full speed doing all these things, you know, except, you know, full contact hitting. But he's not suiting up, and I really don't understand that. It's just an oddity.
Inexplicable.
But as you said, there'll be a lot of different personnel groupings in that secondary tonight, just like we've seen the last few weeks.
The biggest question of the night is obviously about Tom Brady, his left knee brace. How has he looked out there, and is he any limping? And this brace that everybody's referencing, is it the normal one that he wore last week?
I mean, to me, it looks a little bit bigger. Maybe that's just because, you know, he wasn't wearing one the other day, and maybe my eyes are just giving me a little bit. But to me, it looks like either it's a bigger brace or there's more either padding or wrapping underneath it. So it does look a little bit more cumbersome than the one that I remember is wearing. But it doesn't look like it's going to affect him at all as far as moving around or running or anything. I mean, what I've seen so far from him looks fairly normal, Tom Brady.
Anything else you need to chime in? The weather looks like it's perfect out there. Beautiful night
for
football.
Yeah, it is absolutely perfect weather for football tonight. Just one other note, I've not seen Daniel Fells, and we haven't seen him during the week. Either since your boy Big Smooth looked like he hurt his shoulder two days ago in practice. So
damn it.
That means more reps and more opportunities for that young kid, Sudfeld, who's been making a name for himself all camp.
The offensive line, too, Cannon, Conley, those guys, Zuzu, Petals.
Yeah, those guys are all suited up. We'll see how much guys like Cannon play. I mean, he only just came back this week from practice. So, they can certainly use the help at that right guard position, but I would expect Will Zbytek to at least start the game there, and we'll see how much of a rotation there is thereafter.
All right, Eric. Thanks for checking in with us.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
See you soon. In a bit. Save some food.
BFW's Eric Scalavino, live from the press box here at Gillette Stadium.
Who's the guy from California? Brandon?
Yes.
Just to give an update to Brandon in California, Red Sox trail 3-0, bottom second. top second.
Oh,
and it's really loud.
And now all of a sudden we're going to give you some audio.
We're going to do a live check-in.
And evidently we're going to violate a lot of broadcasting rules here.
Yeah, that definitely was not meant to happen. That
he's just holding it out for Kevin. Go fix this.
Yeah,
he's got it on 52 for audio.
I asked Eric about the offensive linemen, and he said they're all suited up. but they're not expected to play. Everybody else says they're not there. Conley, Cannon, and Zuzovic.
I'm seeing that as well.
Giardi, Howe.
Howe?
Yes, and Howe. Dewey Cheatham. And Howe.
And I'm the lame one?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay, just checking.
Anyway, there's a lot of dead air going on, so I'm just going to keep talking
about
contradictory information that we just got from Eric as opposed to Twitter. So I'm guessing those guys aren't dressed, so I don't know why you'd be tweeting that they're not in uniform if they were.
Well, Jeff Howe definitely tweeted, not dressed. Harrison, Dowling, McCourty, Dennard, Cannon, Conley, Zusevic, Fells, Gronk, Cunningham, Armstead.
And Giardi just tweeted, also missing this even, Conley and Cannon.
Chris Price, missing the following. Harrison, Dowling, Cannon, McCourty, Conley, Dennard, Cannon, Zusevic. Conley, Zusevic, Fells, Gronk, Armstead, Cunningham. No surprises.
So that information.
You caught Eric off guard. Relax for a second. You caught him a little off guard.
And you know what? You're right, because I generally don't ask any questions.
Exactly.
And I made
him nervous.
And I, for the second week in a row, I asked one and didn't get the right answer. I'm going to continue
to not ask questions.
That'll be
the last time that Paul offers up a question at any
point. Stump the Schwab is suited up, though. Bryce Schwab.
Mike writes in on the
no, Mike Wright?
Never heard of Billy Bear.
Mike writes in on email.
Mike writes in. He's playing right now.
Yeah. Webradio@patriots.com, guys.
He hates me.
We do know why BB drafted Allen. He just can't pass up on a left-footed punter.
No. And he didn't draft him, first of all. He signed him.
Right.
And I understand why he would bring a guy in. He's very good. He's available. My punter is going into his contract year.
What we're wondering about is why he didn't get drafted by anybody.
I mean, Belichick has drafted Steven Gostkowski. He has drafted
Zoltan Mesko.
And the long snapper, too.
Yeah, well, that was a bad pick.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Because he does a very, very good job of drafting, and that wasn't a very, very good pick.
But
Jake
when
Ingram.
He's targeting a special team's need, he's drafted it.
No, I understand, but I don't think... This is why I think that you make way too much of this than I am trying to say. You make this indication that... I'm saying that Belichick is running Mesko out of here, and he's gone.
He said it's a competition.
Of course it's a competition. Everything's a competition.
I think the wording the other day, I was of the belief the way he said it, it's a competition.
So it's okay for the head coach to say it, Beetle, but if I say it, I'm somehow...
You're stirring the pot.
I'm blaspheming for Mesko.
I mean, is there a money situation with this team? And it's probably a little late in the show to bring this topic up new, but
clearly,
I see all these people. Well, we got to cut Fells and who, man? They make 1.2.
Well, you don't see all these people. Giardi's big on that.
As far as I know, I don't see the books, but all reports indicate they have over $10 million in cap room. 10 point something million.
I just don't
cutting all these guys to save 800K?
I don't think it's smart business to make your football decisions based on that little money.
I fully believe there's a chance Ryan Allen is the New England Patriots punter next season. I'm not so sure about this season. And I certainly wouldn't do it because he makes, you know,
$820,000
less.
But that's what I was looking at. You know, can you get him on the practice squad or can you keep him around somehow?
Sure. Nobody wanted to draft him. Why would they want to pick him up?
And then maybe you don't want to give Mesko the extended deal. You know, you don't want to give him a 3-year deal. But I don't think it's, unless, you know, Allen just blew you away and he was so much better than Mesko, I don't think that that's enough money to make a personnel decision over. Less than $1 million.
Well, here's one more, and you touched on this briefly, but it's the other kicking spot with Steven Gostkowski. Here's Melvin in Tennessee saying, if he misses a 30-plus yard field goal tonight, do you start questioning him?
And he wants to run him out of town.
No, I don't. I actually like him quite a bit, but I am a little concerned with what I've seen over the last week and a half.
Do you want to tweak him? Do you want to needle him, bring somebody else into camp?
I'm not sure he's a needler. I'm not sure he's a guy who responds to needling.
No.
I need to build his confidence somehow, because there was a day last week in practice he missed 6 straight. Then there was a day where he was clanking off the upright. Then in the game he missed his 2. I have concerns.
By the way, he missed the 2 kicks that he missed. Both guys were holding. Allen held on the 53-yarder, I think. And one of the other. They Mesko was the holder on one and Allen was the holder on the other. So it wasn't like it was the newness of it. He's been a little inconsistent this summer, although he had a really good stretch of practices with Tampa Bay.
Correct.
I think he made every kick.
Correct.
In the joint practices with Tampa
Bay.
But
he should. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl caliber kicker. I should not really be talking about him right now, in my opinion. He should be a given. You know, he's going to hit his field goals, and he's been a little lackluster, a little shaky for my liking.
Well, I hate to bring it up, but you could save money there, too.
You can save money everywhere. Why don't we just get all rookies making $405,000? This Brady guy's making like $15 million.
Well, there's a couple of things. Now, first of all, that's a little bit more money than what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's not $800K.
He's no longer on his rookie deal.
And we don't have the two-time Ray Guy Award winner backing him up.
But they don't have anybody here.
I don't even know what the kicking
They don't have anybody kicking.
But if you're going to have somebody here, that's why I'm saying, would you even make it a competition? Would you make it a true competition?
Too late. I'm not bringing in a young guy.
It's a kicker.
It's too late. Well, oh, you mean a veteran.
Yeah, I'm talking about not a rookie.
Did Carpenter just get cut and he's waiting for his wife to have a baby and he's going to pick a new team?
Dan Carpenter did get cut.
And he's waiting for his wife. As soon as she has a baby, he's going to sign with a new team. So you want to bring in a veteran. Are you at that point?
I am not.
I am not either.
I'm not there, but I'll tell you what.
I'm a big Gostkowski fan.
If he went out like Melvin said tonight and continued to miss kicks, I'd start thinking about it.
Listen, it's a concern, and I was concerned about it last season because I thought he was a little inconsistent last season as well.
Mike Reese wrote that story talking about thinking, is it time?
I like his range. I think he has a big leg, and he has proven that he can be accurate from long distance, and I like that. And perhaps the most important thing, Beetle, I don't think this is a really easy stadium to kick in, and he's proven that he can kick in it. So I like that.
So there's that. So there is that. This has been a lot of fun here today. I want to let you guys know that next week I'm going to be here on time.
Well, I hope so.
It was the best hour and a half of his life.
There's nothing I hate more than hosting, so I hope you are here on time.
I'll be here on time. I can promise you
that. For some reason, Andy makes me host every time. I don't know why.
I get him on to the Twitter.
I don't know why I let him push me around.
Thanks for participating in the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We will obviously do it again next week. I'll be back after the game right here, same place on Patriots.com. With your post-game coverage, we'll talk about the game with your calls, hear from Coach Belichick, hear from Tom Brady. All of that coming up after the game. For Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, I'm Mark Bertrand. Enjoy the game.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio for the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
28 seconds remaining. Empty backfield. Three receivers near side right. Pass lead by six. Snap to Fitzpatrick looking over the middle. Fires to the right. Intercepted in the end zone. Intercepted by Devin McCourty.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.